Welcome back, everybody. So let's remove the bookmark and continue our story. So, liberators, as you are on the sea, the Sapphire Shore, being bombarded by these demonic shark creatures, being hit left and right as this thrusting the ice crown back and forth, I need you all to roll me initiative. Alrighty, so we have Duran going on a 21, Monaco going on an 18, as well as all of the demon sharks going on an 18, King going on 17, Horatio at a 12, Cal on a 7, and Julian on a 6, with the rest of the Unity Knights. So I'm going to go ahead and share the map. If the wobbling is too much for you, I will turn it off.
This is awesome.
Alright, so
he's like,
top of the round goes to Duran. Fortunately, you cannot see where the creatures are, but you do know that they're underneath the ship as they're bashing into the ship back and forth. What would you like to do? And the ship is moving about 30 feet per round at the end of the round.
Darn, I can't see them.
I want to take a moment and look around like the top of the ship and see if I see like anything like nets or harpoons or anything that's built into the ship for the purpose of fishing or handling fish and stuff.
Okay. Other than like a lifeboat that's stationed to the side of the ship, there are no nets. You know that there's no nets or anything like that that are here. This is kind of like the queen's ship that she uses for travel. If anything, that would be done by the guards or other people who would have it on their persons. But if you, that's just common knowledge, but if you want to get a vantage point to climb up, you could. What's your climb speed?
I have no special climb speed. Duran's going to activate his vagary.
Cloud Vagary! Skywalker!
Alrighty, so you go ahead and spin around for 20 feet of your movement as the winds pick up beneath your feet and you begin to float above the ice crown. What do you wish to do next?
Duran's going to spend his bonus action taking the dash action, moving 30 feet over here, and then he's going to spend his actual action taking the dodge action.
Okay, so you go ahead and activate your cloud vagary, the cloud walk, the Skywalker, and in doing so, you run off to the edge of the ship, standing on the air as you look down off of the ship as it's continuing to move towards the Golden Sea. As it continues to move in that direction, you look around to see what could be attacking. Roll me a perception check.
21.
21, all right. You do see shadows crashing into the bottom of the ship. You're not exactly sure, not enough for you to make out exactly where they were, but just peering over, you see shadows just bashing back and forth into the bottom of the ship, trying to cause it to sink or damage it. Though you do every so often see the illumination of the shield that protects the ice crown. All right. Up next is Monaco.
As you see Duran kind of run over the side of the ship, she notices he's kind of right over where that wall of fire is. And she will begin to manipulate the flames with her wand. As she does so, she will cast, she will sort of twist them into a, like a conductor of flame and shadow, into a magnificent sphere of maddening darkness, which she will conjure beneath the ship.
All right.
Summoning a 60-foot radius sphere of magical darkness underneath the ship. And it is filled with the sounds of gibbering laughter and maddening voices. And anything that starts its turn in there will take psychic damage from the effect.
Okay, and what's the radius one more time?
60 feet.
60 feet radius. Mm-hmm. All right, so you go ahead and create your a magical area where, and as the magic shoots out, it encompasses the black sea underneath it, hoping to hit some of the sharks once they come into range. Is there anything else you wish to do?
No, that's it.
All right, the demon sharks will take their turn. They are all going to lunge and attack the hull of the ship in an attempt to break through its defenses and cause it to sink. So the sharks underneath the ship, you're not seeing exactly where they are, especially because you're not in see-through mode of the ship either, but you just feel them careen and bash back and forth into the ship. More and more of the ship's force field begins to be tattered away as they're just taking a chunk after chunk, but the actual ship itself hasn't taken any damage yet. As they make their attacks, I'm going to need everyone who's on the ship. So that would be King, Horatio, you're already seated, Cal, and Julian to make dexterity saving throws. And Monaco, as you're all on the ship. Monaco, you're fine as you're able to keep your balance. King, you do get knocked over, though, falling prone. You don't take any damage. You just start your turn at the prone position.
I'll use my 15 feet of movement to stand up from falling prone. I'll activate my wings and just fly over the ship. And I'll fly out 15 feet because I was actually here. So I'll stand up using 15 and then I'll fly 15 feet here. I will hold my action for when I see one of them to cast a spell.
All right. Up next, Horatio.
All right. Being that Horatio is in the gun and he cannot see any of them because they are under the ship. So he is going to get out and some move 15 feet in this direction. Are any of you inside of the water?
No. No one's in the water right now.
Okay. Can I just, like, aim a lightning bolt down at the water?
Yeah, you could totally do that. Go ahead and... Well, you don't have to roll an attack and you're just doing it at the water. Go ahead and roll...
I mean, do they have to do a save? Anyways, regardless, or...
Go ahead and roll damage.
Okay. I wanted to cast it at a fourth level.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead and roll that damage. Don't target anything, just go ahead and roll.
That's just 28 points of damage.
All right, 28 points of damage. So, Horatio, you fly on over to the water, looking in the air. You can't quite see where they are, but just looking over the side of the railing, you shoot your lightning bolt down to the ground, and it arcs, crashing against the... It's spreading across the bottom of the ship and all the surrounding area of you're not sure if it did much damage, but you do hear some type of contact with something in the area.
All right, and just for clarification, I didn't fly, I walked over. I didn't cast.
Oh, did I say fly? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said fly. Yeah. So yeah, that would be the end of my turn, and I'd brace myself just in case for the next time they, because I've noticed that they've been hitting the ship. So I kind of hold on to the railing to brace myself.
All right.
And that's the end of my turn.
All right. Up next is Cal.
I'll use like a free action to yell out to everybody on the deck.
Hold tight. I'm gonna try to swing this thing around so we can see what's underneath of us.
I want to spin the wheel. Opposite of the way it's going really hard in an attempt to get the ship to swing out in a very sharp turn so we can see what is underneath of us.
Alright, so since this is a special maneuver, go ahead and roll that survival check. And we'll say since you are steering the ship will move on your turn.
Okay. And would that magical darkness then move with us as it's like supposed to be centered underneath the ship?
Is it sent?
No, it would just remain where she summoned it, okay. With where those things are now.
And I'm guessing it's going to take both of my hands to steer, so I don't really have a weapon out. So that'll be my turn, because I'm going to stay at the helm.
Okay, so Cal, you whip the ice crown, shifting yourself into the wind. It now picks up, and the ice crown is going much faster, hitting that 90-plus that it was doing before when you were sailing once again. Keeping your same 16 on navigation, you make your way, starting to really pick up, though it will move again at that speed on your next turn. Up next is Julian. Julian is confused and just do you see it? Where is it? Mr. Cal, get us out of here now. And he'll just end his turn because there's nothing he can do.
I'm working on it.
As the rest of his Unity Knights. So top of the round is Duran. Floating atop the waters with the magical darkness. You're not entirely sure where the sharks are. Though if they were directly underneath the middle of the ship, or at least in that general area, they were probably inside of the darkness.
I'll give them something to chase after then.
Duran is going to move. He's going to get his hand, and he's going to put it on the magnetic blade, and he's going to wipe his hand across the blade, cutting his hand, and letting his blood run from his hand into the water. and he's going to try to... he's going to use 20 feet of his movement to keep his vagary going, and he's going to move to the middle of the magical darkness.
But you're staying, like, in the air?
Yeah, still in the air, but over the center of the magical darkness. He's just going to let his hand drip blood into the water, and he's going to ready an action to strike anything that comes up out of the water.
Okay.
Would I take damage for doing what I did to my hand?
Yeah, if you made yourself bleed, probably take, roll d4. 2 points of damage. As you slash your hand, blood dripping down, go ahead and roll me a deception check.
I'm going to spend a lucky die on that.
Okay.
There we go. 18.
18, all right. So, Durant, you cut your hand. Going over towards the top of the middle of the magical darkness that Monaco has conjured, dripping the blood down, it seeps down, but you can't see exactly what it's doing as everything is just covered within this darkness. Up next is Monaco.
So as the boat kind of moved, and she can see in magical darkness, can she see any of the sharks from her position right now?
Yes, so indeed. Since you can see magical darkness, you can easily see that all the sharks are piled together one after another right inside the magical darkness underneath where the ship was. They couldn't get out, nor did they move. Looks like they used... if anything, like they had just like arrived there, and you see them in the distance as the last of them are coming up, hitting the last bits of the bottom of the ship as it made its lurch and shift in direction. You see all 11 of them, and they're all over there now.
She'll aim an Eldritch Blast at one of them and release a hail of lasers into the water. Each blast parting it and sending up a wave of foam.
All right.
And I will target one of them, I think.
Target whichever one you would like, and they're all reachable.
Ah, a natural one.
Natural one.
Which misses.
It misses, goes wide off into the distance, making a huge splash in the water.
All right, number two. A 19.
19. Okay. Roll for damage, and actually... It should be at advantage as they cannot see you as they're in magical darkness. So you can go ahead and roll that first one again. We'll say that one hit. Now you have your other shots.
And I'll roll with advantage now. A 24.
24 hits, roll damage.
For 13 damage.
13
and
points
one last
damage.
Attack. 19, which also hits.
That hits, roll damage.
For 12 damage. And the first one hit for 15 damage, I should say.
Okay. So you look on over and you're blasting. You see that these meaty, strange abomination of sharks are being bombarded by your Eldritch Blast. One of them, number 11, seems to be really hurt. It's barely moving anymore. And actually, it begins to start to sink down as it's unable to keep itself afloat, looking weak.
And then she'll run over to being near Horatio and the others. And that's it for her turn.
All righty. Up next, the Demotarchs now all end their turn within the... Or start their turn within the sphere.
Lovely.
And they will all take the damage. So go ahead and roll it for each of one of them.
Now casting Maddening Darkness. The massive pile of failures.
All right, the demons for the most part have failed. Go ahead and roll your damage.
For 33 psychic damage.
All righty. So all demon shark number 11... floats up to the top before poofing away back to the demonic plane as the rest of them look to be in agony and writhing in pain after being struck by your maddening darkness. They will continue to try to attack the ship.
The haunting voices affect even these demonic creatures.
Oh, they will use their blood frenzy and will roll intelligence at disadvantage to see if they are attracted to the blood that Duran has dropped. Natural one. Instead of going after the ship, they start to... You see in Monaco, the rest of you don't, that they start to shake their heads left and right. And looking off in the magical dart, and you see another substance seep into your magic as they all Although they can't see, they do have other senses, and sensing blood is one of their senses. They lunge on over to that area like piranhas and begin just snapping at the blank area in space, thinking that they're hitting a foe, wasting their entire turn just biting. Some of them even careening into each other, not enough to do damage, but enough to cause a slight frenzy and confusion. And they'll all just end their turn without attacking the ice.
Duran,
your bluff worked!
Do we see any of them, like, surface at all during this point?
You saw one surface.
Okay, I was holding my spell, so I'd like to attack that one that surfaced.
The one that surfaced is dead.
Well, it died. It's already dead. It surfaced and poof.
Okay. So we don't see any of them still.
No. Yeah, the magical darkness is keeping you, so you can't see anything. Unless you can see in magical darkness, then yes, you do.
Okay. Not unless Miley Key can give me sight beyond sight.
She don't got that.
She didn't give me her eyes. I will, since I know that I can see the sails filling up with wind, I'm actually going to fly back over the boat and land, so that way I don't, like, get fucking lost. So I'm going to land onto the boat, and I don't know, I'll shout out, like, where are they? What's going on? And
Duran's bluff worked. They're in that pile.
Does she point? Does that give me any area? Because if I have at least an area, I can do an area effect.
Yeah, you got an you get it. She is telling you where they are. If you have to see them, no. But if you can just, like, fireball them.
Okay.
Or
something like that, since she said like they're over there and in the center of that place, I will conjure forth a tidal wave. I haven't used this spell in quite some time. So I will hold Caliburn up and call forth a surge. And this giant ripple will surge over and lunge towards that pile she pointed to. And it is 10 feet wide by 30 feet long. So if I moved it up a little bit, I might be able to hit most of them, but I don't think all of them. Or does that?
They're all basically in the sharing the same spot. They're all like piranha-ing on the blood drop right now. So you can easily hit all of them if you could hit one.
Okay, so I'll just target them all and hit it. And this is a third level spell, but I'll upcast it at fifth level just because they're attacking our ship.
Okay.
So they all make deck saves. And then take this much damage, and they're knocked prone if they failed. But I don't know if they can be prone in water.
All right. So, as you go ahead and strike with your conjure your spell, as the waters whoosh rise up, splat, careening and cascading over all of the sharks that are biting at the area that Duran's blood is dripping from. They are all hit, and one after another, the sharks rise up to the top after, and you see them get pushed up in the force of the water, and as they all, like almost like a geyser, as they appear up into the sky, they all poof, 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 dropping their ichor onto the ground, melding with the blackness created from the magical darkness, and kind of oozing out of the area until the final demon hunter shark dissipates and disperse after, and then leaving nothing in its wake other than the wake created by the ice crown as it goes full speed towards Shimmer Drift. They all have been killed.
Minako runs to the end of the ship, watching just the magical darkness fade away.
When you watch it fade away, what leaves in his wake is the ichor that and the guts left by the demon before they also turn into dust, fade away, cleansing the waters, turning it back to its shimmering sapphire shores.
Would we assume that they were, like, conjured by the poofing, or did we not see? You said they splashed up in the air and they poofed. So would that indicate that they were summons?
No, most demons, they like kind of fester, then go back to their demonic realm and poof.
Okay, so we're just
or
not
like shimmer. Alrighty. Julian looks on over and says, "Did you do it? Are they gone?"
The darkness has consumed them. That and Malachi's power. She smiles at King.
I used the weight of the water against them.
That was very clever with the blade, Duran. Your blood. It called them all to that spot.
I'm lucky that on the surface,
Our people had to make do with whatever we could eat. Even sharks. The demon sharks were close enough to the ones on the surface.
Well,
it was a good strategy.
I wouldn't have been able to hit them if you did not clump them together.
Our victories will cost much blood.
Julian looks on over. Well, thank you again, liberators. If everything is good, I think we'll head back down. Maybe finish our meals. But you, he says, pointing over to two of the Unionites. Stay on deck. Keep an eye, your eyes peeled. I don't know if it was a coincidence or not that we were attacked soon after we left Beach Bell. But I'm a cautious man. And they go, huh? And they go off. One climbs the crow's nest that's at the top of the main mast and gets on top there, while the other gets to the port bow and looks on over.
I thought that...
Do you think they were sent here?
I don't know.
I thought that we were practically invisible on this ship.
Horatio would say, we have been talking freely over the earrings of sending. Don't forget, Duramo has one as well. It's possible he might have sent those.
Well, I guess I won't call you guys for dinner that way again.
You can call us for dinner, just not too many details about what we're doing or where we're at.
I'll have to get one of those triangles.
There should be a few bells lying around on this ship somewhere.
Yeah, you're not sure if it was sent. Maybe they saw the wake from the ship on the water and had their own type of sense, aquatic sense, or not. Unsure, but they were alerted. Though the ice crown to the outside illusion does look to be invisible, even affecting the area around it. Nevertheless, it seems that these demon hunter sharks were making their way to you. And Cal, you noticed, because you had a nat 20, that they were trying to be extremely stealthful. Seeing how they move you were moving over 90 feet at your full speed, and they were able to catch up and keep up, and then increase their speed when they attack, knowing that they had very, very fast speed in swim speed underwater. So whether or not they were following you, or whether or not they just happened to come upon you, you're not entirely sure. But nevertheless, you continue to sail. Does anyone go back to eat? This all happened over the course of about a minute.
I stay at the helm.
Well, I don't know about you, but casting ultimate magic always drains me. I'm gonna go eat. You guys wanna come down?
I will keep watch at this point. We cannot let our guard down again.
Thank you for protecting us, Duran.
It is obvious that some luxuries should be cast aside.
I'll be bringing you your food from now on.
Must you downspeak about everything? You should be thankful that she's so well prepared. It keeps you in tip-top shape, and it makes everyone happy, which makes us stronger. You're so narrow-sighted for you to think it's useless and should be discarded. Come on, Minako. Let's not let your hard work go to waste. I turn my back.
Thank you, King.
Cal, if you need more, let me know.
I think I should be fine for now, but perhaps after a while when this wind has worn me down a little more.
All right. So you all those who wish you to head back down to eat, head down. Cal, you stay at the helm. Walking up to you, Julian, once everyone leaves the vicinity, and walks up and says, Cal, as a son of the great Galilea, feel a kinship with you. I trust you. There's something I wish to discuss. That attack, I don't know. The Ice Crown, even I can feel its magic, its power. To be able to be found so easily, albeit by these creatures, I don't think it was coincidence. I've had my suspicions, but we may have a mole on the inside. Only your liberators, us, Merrick Tybalt, and of course the King and his confidants know about our meeting in Shimmerdrift, and about us getting onto the ship and going. If someone did send these, or an agent of the Demon Dancers and Shiverin, I would hate to think that we're walking into a trap. Just keep your eyes peeled.
I will. I can try to use my divine sense and see if anyone stinks of defilement.
I'll keep my senses up as well. Like I said, it could be someone close to the King as well. Be on your guard when we arrive. This was just too close of a coincidence.
Agreed. No one knew we were leaving when we left. We didn't stay. We quickly met and quickly left. It doesn't seem right, I agree.
I'm going to check with Merrick and make sure everything's all right there. I'll alert you if there's news. He gives you a nod and heads down towards his quarters. So for the rest of the evening, doesn't seem to be any issues. All right, it slowed you down a little bit, this, but you're back on track. So you probably just will take an extra half an hour to get towards Shimmerdrift. But so the hours pass on. Cal, you're starting to get tired. You're not feeling exhausted, but you're getting very tired. As the both of you, I need you to roll me perception checks at disadvantage. I'll say this particularly because it's been a long day and a little bit tiresome.
Oh, Duran is up there too, by the way.
Oh, well, if you're up there, yes, that's right, Duran. You're practicing.
Oh no, he's just keeping watch. He's not even practicing at this point.
Okay, then you can roll me a. You can also, but since you don't need sleep as much as the rest of them do, I'll say you can just roll me a regular perception check. All right, so Cal 13, Horatio 8, and Duran a 23. So as the rest of you finish your meals and either go and rest or do what you want during the rest of the evening, Duran, you're the only one who notices that there are lights off into the distance. Peering across, your elven eyes perceive what looks to be a harbor of some kind, with a giant building inside next to the harbor. The rest you can't make out as you're kind of far away, but definitely land seems to be coming. About probably another 45 minutes or an hour or so would be when you'd be arriving to this, or at least meeting up with what you see in the distance.
In the distance, I see a light and a building.
We must be close then.
You hear coming from the crow's nest. Lanho! Yes, I see it. It looks to be. It's Shimmerdrift. That's right. I recognize that building. It's the keep.
After Duran points out the fact that it's like lit up, do I notice it? And does it look?
Yeah, you notice it now.
Weird that it's lit up.
You notice it now, and it doesn't look weird. It's just
like it's not like on.
Yeah, it's not on fire. Just like normal lights, candles. Ways of illumination. Okay. It's always dust that you always need light.
No, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like, hey, and for whatever reason, this dark horizon has one blazing light coming from this giant key. Mm-hmm. That'd be bad. So that's why I'm just double checking. So yeah, I'll take the ship to the harbor. Oh. Take her in.
All right. So you start to steer the ship in there, and about. Do you let anyone? No one else in there knows. Only on you guys on the surface. So, Cal, you begin to start the measures to dock. But it'll still take you a little bit. Is there anything you want to do before you dock the ship or get to docking parameters or situation?
No, I figure we're probably going to be spending time on the boat while we wait for everybody else to get here. And there's some stuff I want to try to do in repairing these like shields. Unsure of how they work exactly, but I'm going to try and like juice them up with some magic if I can. But I don't have to do that until like we're done, have some downtime or whatever.
All right. Does anybody else wish to do anything? So Horatio, Duran, you two are aware, right? At this point, the gentleman who was inside the crow's nest comes down and calls over to the woman who's was standing at the front of the ship, alerts her as well about the land ahead, and they both run to go downstairs. We're gonna let everyone know, and they run downstairs to alert the rest of the at this point you all hear everyone awaken, land in about 45 minutes, we'll be reaching land. And he just starts knocking on doors repeating this, even your doors, Monaco King, if you're down there resting during this.
Yeah, after dinner, I would have retired to my room to sort of rest and maybe spend, you know, 2 or 3 hours writing my manifesto and reflecting.
Monaco had Eudrin give her a mani-pedi in the meantime.
He's in a pinstripe suit, not tuxedo, just like a suit jacket, vest, with his bat wings. And he just goes ahead and begins manicure, pedicure, and he does not have a happy face on.
Oh, Eudrin, you're so good with the toes. Mm-hmm.
As you wish, my master. And he just looks defeated at being made to do this. But nevertheless, you are alerted that land is on the horizon.
Oh, that will be enough. Thank you.
Am I dismissed?
You are.
And he poofs away into the ethereal.
And then up we go.
Okay. And can you say you were heading on top, up top as well? As you hear, there's all the other Union Knights are getting up and making their way up.
I'll gather my things and put away my writing stuff and make my way up.
Okay. So with all of you ahead, Cal, you begin to start the docking as Julian walks on over to you. I've alerted the king. He's aware of our arrival. He should be waiting for us with his men.
Perfect. Julian, can you get all of your people near one of the near the gangplank area? I just want to try something.
All right. He looks a little confused. Sure. And he nods, walking over downstairs, gathering the rest of his forces as they all stand towards the port side gangplank area.
I just want to make sure with you. They're all going to be about 60 feet, within 60 feet of
me? Yeah.
Okay. Because then I would use my divine sense, and I want to see if any of them have that noxious odor of some kind of infernal juju. I don't know.
Okay. You go ahead and release your divine sense, closing your eyes, but still keeping a firm grip onto the helm as you instinctively release your divine sense. It wafts over the most of the boat, and in it you, obviously, the fey creatures who are on board as your allies, you feel them, the tad bit of infernal that lies within Monaco, but in terms of true undead and dark and malice, nothing. Everyone seems normal. No one seems to be corrupted or dark touched in any way. At least from within you can sense in your divine sense.
Okay.
But as you get closer and closer towards the pier, there seems to be a flag that's being waved that you can notice at this. It's bright at this point. It's well lit here. So you can easily see where to swing the boat around. As the flag is being waved, Julian points over to it down by towards the port side and waves his hand towards you, giving you notice to start the docking procedure. Roll me a final survival check to see how well you dock this ship.
Oh, boy. Here we go, everybody. That is a natural 20 for a 22. It's like I hit the button on some of the newer cars that are out there now. You can parallel park itself. I press that button for the boat and it parallel parks itself right into the dock.
So Cal, you go ahead and it's a second nature to you. You can feel the craftsmanship of your father in this. And is it because you're the mortal key? Is it because you're the son of Galilea or some other sense? You don't know, but it feels right how you're guiding the ship, and you turn it to its port side so that it's parallel with the actual dock. It coasts in so gently, and it's like you see the people who are waving you down blink every so often, looking for where the ship is, and then looking at the ship again, and then they blink, and they look at the ship again as it gets closer and closer, fading in and out of existence, until it just easily careens and gets right next to the dock. For a second, the people, you notice the people on the dock just kind of shake their head, scratch their head, and then notice the ice crown. Get the ropes ready and begin the locking, docking procedures to make sure it's stable. And they're being very careful as they're just unsure how to operate around this mystical ship. Off into the distance, you can see, five well-dressed nobles. One of them easily recognized is the large, boisterous King Terminus, as he has a huge smile on his face that stretches his long beard and opulent wizard golden robes. As well, he's with other, it seems to be, mages and a couple warriors at his side. You do know Judane is not with him. You usually see them together, but he is not. But the rest of you all see this as well. See the ship being docked and it gets successfully attached to the pier. So what you see as you arrive into Shimmer Drift Watch, arrive into the dock and it's a little late at night, so it's not that busy, but there are many sailors and a couple other ships, but look more like warships, that are on its pier. There are also several buildings, and it's not like how Beach Bell was, where there were shops and things on the pier. Everything here looks like some type of barracks or building for the sense of war or actual work with the crown. A lot of the symbols of Thelos are emblazoned on many walls and many buildings here. As you go ahead and look over deeper into the small city that is the Shimmerdrift Watch, you see there's a tall four-story stone building with white to dark brown stone blocks that make up its body, showing the age and the battles that this structure must have seen. Trees surround the exterior of this building, and large windows can be seen several feet tall that line the exterior, with a rooftop that is blocked from your current vantage point, because that's how tall it is. There looks to be about a staircase that leads up into it, but that is being blocked as you are more on the outskirts. There is a stone wall surrounding the entirety of what you now see is an island, as off into the distance, it connects onto the mainland of Thelos. You hear, "Friends, hello there!" as yelling with a booming voice, possibly thaumaturgy, as he always uses, is King Terminus waving at you.
I remove my hat and bow.
And at this point, the docking procedures has completed, and you can easily walk off the ship. As Julian and the rest of the Unionites are already grabbing their horses and starting
Excuse me. I'm going to push past them and run down the gangplank back onto land. Oh, so good to be back on land. I feel so much better. Hello, King Terminus.
Hello there, my friend. How was your journey?
Not so great. I'll let them tell you about it.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, come. I have a room inside of the watch waiting for us. We can discuss your journey, as well as our next steps in the battle to free Shiverin.
Minako will give him a deep curtsy and then ask, how goes the effort? Have you had any correspondence from Camilla? Queen Camilla?
No, I'm sorry, my friend. Queen Camilla has been out of my reach. All communication into Shiverin has been halted. I fear we'll have to sneak in. Place the orbs. Well, let's not get into details here. Let's go into my keep at Shimmerdrift Watch. This way, friends.
And him and his small procession of guards and wizards give you all a bow and start to give him a bow. And then they all start walking to the city proper. All right.
You should know, we had to deal with demons along the way. Although, well, I guess they might have just been wild.
Aye. Julian has told me about that. I'm worried. But we will talk about this more inside. Amongst protected walls.
And on solid ground. Yes, let's go. Off these docks. Come.
Alright.
And I like...
So the rest, so...
Push everyone along.
So you all gather your things, the Unionites get all their horses, unload the ship, as it seems to be actual other Unity Knights and people who are commissioned by the Crown are attending to the Ice Crown at this moment, so you don't have to worry about meeting any Harbor Master or paying any type of fees.
Nice.
So as you walk up into the city and you pass more, everything in here looks like it's for an army. There are barracks, there are... Shops, yes, but it looks like all the shops are for weaponry and things and fletchery and things like that you will pick up for for adventures, or not adventures, for like militaristic endeavors and excursions. But nevertheless, passing that, you walk into the middle of the town, or you walk towards the middle of the town, but before reaching it, you see that large tower up close, and you see how extremely tall it is, going up over four stories, like I said before. There is a staircase that leads up towards its large metal doors that are attached to its stone exterior. King Terminus begins walking up it, but as soon as he gets to the first step, just flies up. The mages do the same. And the warriors just walk up.
I'll fly up with my wings, following suit.
Okay. spreading your wings and flashing them, you fly up behind the king in his procession. And unless you all want to do something fancy, you all continue to walk up the staircase as well. It was pretty steep. Many, many staircases led you up there, and it took you about a couple minutes, actually, to make it all the way to the top, going towards the door of this keep. Looking behind you, you can now see that there is a long stretch of land that leads off into the actual Thelos, and you're on just a large island. Think almost like New York City, Staten Island, but there is actually a physical piece of land that connects it to the mainland. So you make it up towards the doors as King Terminus slams his hands together, creating a large thud, smacking sound that echoes without and throughout this area. As he does so, the doors open up with their 30 feet tall, extremely thick metal exteriors, opening up into the innards of this stone keep. As you walk inside, the first thing that you sense is the musty, humid smell that's coming from here. It doesn't seem like people or anyone has been in here for quite some time. Inside, it looks like a maze of winding corridors made of stone similar to its exterior makeup. The ceilings are high, but walkways seem cramped as there is a faint smell of musk lingers in the air. The lights seem to illuminate magically as you step into the hallways, following King Terminus through its winding pathways. You will be lost without his guidance as you go through this maze, and then you travel through a plethora of doorways and secret passages that he takes you through, hitting bricks and having doors slide open. They close behind you, and the Union Knights have already tied up their horses on the outside, so it's just all of you walking into there. Until eventually, about after 10 minutes, not sure what floor you can be on, you finally reach a large black metal door with strange runic-like designs carved into its center. Does anyone here speak Celestial or can read Celestial?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, those of you who can speak and read Celestial see that it's an incantate, what looks to be the symbol in four symbols that read the word seal onto the door itself. King Terminus clears his throat, opens up his mouth, and first moves his hand in very sharp formations, weaving in and out his fingers between each other as he starts to chant. To everyone else who doesn't understand Celestial, it sounds like inaudible hums, yawns, whispers, and echoes that you're unable to make out. Those of you who do hear can understand it, can easily identify this as Celestial and understand that he's speaking an incantation. You hear him say, "Sealed by the power, I now dismiss. Release the bond, as is my wish." And as he finishes the incantation, there is a bright glow that fills the runes from left to right on the middle door. When the final character is filled, a blast of energy shoots off from the door and from King Terminus, creating a wind that anything that's not tied down, such as like your clothes, or there's like an opening or a gap, they lift up like a parachute light as the wind blows through it and blows throughout the corridors, as there's a small hum as it echoes throughout the entirety of the chambers. When the wind dies down, the door then opens up, swinging with the fury, blasting itself onto the walls next to it, causing a small crack into the stone, opening up to what looks to be a room not too different from the room of the war room back in King Terminus's castle. "Come, friends, make yourself at home," as he does, walking through the threshold.
Is this room safe as well? Much like your other war room?
Well, once you all enter and I reseal it, it will be.
You are wise indeed, King.
Minako takes a deep breath before entering.
So I'm assuming you all enter, so does... Excuse me. You all enter, so does Julian, the rest of the Unity Knights. When the last person steps in there, King Termus is... flicks his hand behind his back and bends them in an odd fashion, closing the door shut behind you. And once again, that breath of air washes over, creating that same sealed mark in Celestial on the door on the other side, albeit backwards now, like a reflection. And he turns to you and says,
"Well, friends, we are now gloriously protected from outside sources. So, let's begin to discuss the liberation of Shivarin."
And that is where we'll end tonight's session.
Oh, my Lanta. Ooh. That's excellent.
Yo! Liberators!
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. Thank everyone for listening. As always, from the first chapter to the last page, we love you, be kind to one another, and we will see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Dungeon Delvers.
Thanks for listening. We love you.